Hello everyone, welcome to Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for teachers, coaches, and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Michelle with us. Michelle is a workplace mental health strategist and resilience coach, author, and TED speaker. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're looking forward to have the conversation. So with that, why don't you tell us more about yourself and how you got into this this coaching profession?
Yeah, you know, I think I've always just had a strong desire to want to help people. It's just been something that has been part of me for as long as I can remember. And I feel like I had experienced such great success. I was in the corporate world for about 19 years, and I just found myself getting really connected to wanting to do more to support people around their emotional well-being. I found myself giving a TED talk on the TED stage, telling the story of my mom and her mental illness, which led me to write a book. And before I knew it, I became a mental health advocate. So really because I knew there was an opportunity to normalize the conversation around mental health, so people didn't suffer in isolation and silence. And so I just decided I'm going to take a leap of faith. I'm going to leave my corporate career behind, and I'm going to create my own practice where I now get to teach people how to preserve their emotional well-being through either it's my resilience coaching or my well-being workshops.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm curious, you mentioned that just based on your experience and what you shared on the TED talk, do you want to touch a little bit on that, on the background part of it with your family and what the TED talk was about?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, we all have those experiences in our life that shape us into who we've become. And so I grew up with a mom who had bipolar disorder. It was nothing I ever really spoke about. It was sort of a shameful thing, embarrassment. I had a colleague who found out about the story and was like, that's really remarkable, you know, that you were able to care for her, that touched your life. And I'm sure it would make a difference if you told the story. So I found myself preparing and delivering an 11-minute talk about how hard it is to love someone with a mental illness and truly how the entire family unit is affected when one person suffers from a mental health challenge.
No, that's so true. That's so true. And I'm sure that that must have led you to be in this profession as well, that you want to kind of make a change in the community and to those families because you have firsthand experienced how challenging it can be.
Oh, absolutely. I knew that there was an opportunity to, like, you know, when you tell your story, you create this pathway, this connection, this relatedness with other people. And just the reaction that I got from the TED Talk was remarkable. People were coming up to me afterward wanting to talk about it because they had been touched by it. So it sort of was this bridge that was opening the conversation. So I got really connected to the power of storytelling and the difference I could make just by going first and telling my experience.
Oh, that's great. That's great. One of these days, I'm sure a lot of our audiences, one of people in our audiences also want to figure out how to get and be on those TED Talks because they definitely seem to be like hard to get into for sure. So awesome. So with that, I would also love to know just from your journey standpoint, in order to be a coach, did you go through any sort of training certifications, or was it more like it was always there and you started sort of experimenting and working with folks and then kind of worked through that that journey of yours?
You know, it's a very interesting question. I spent, like I said, 19 years in the pharmaceutical industry in corporate America, where I was a manager, an informal coach to my team. And I put myself through a lot of self-discovery work. So my training, my resilience coaching training, is training in life. to be totally honest with you. I have navigated some of the toughest experiences that have forced me to look within and find my own strength and my own resilience. And that's something I believe that everybody has within them. They just don't know it until the rubber hits the road. So for me, I went through a lot of self-discovery work. I navigated my own depression when I was going through a divorce. I was diagnosed for the first time in my entire life with having depression. So I had to navigate that. I had to figure out, how do I help myself when those moments come and they're dark? So and then, you know, experiences being an entrepreneur, being a solopreneur, right? That's in itself a roller coaster. So how do I keep myself resilient when I have those lows, but then those exhilarating highs, right? So so I lean into my, you know, 50 years on the planet. I mean, I've been here 50 years. I've navigated some of my toughest scenarios: divorce, loss of parents, loss of adopted parents, because I'm adopted, met my biological mother, lost her, you know, heartbreak, job loss, and then the emotional journey of an entrepreneur. So I have a lot of great lived experience that I share with my clients in my resilience coaching practice.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And yeah, those experiences definitely teach a lot. I myself can see, like, just based on my last 3 years of being a co-founder, it's like so much that I've learned. I compare my last three years with last 15 years of my work, and I'm like, I've done more work and I've learned a bit more in the last year. So absolutely.
You know what we don't do? So I love that you just said that. So often we do not look at how far we've come. We are only focusing on where we want to go. And I have a very dear coach who coaches me, because I think everyone needs to have a good coach to look up to. And he has said to me, would you just pause for a second and recognize how much you have learned in the past few years, you know, and how far you've come, Yeah, sure, you want to go further, but we don't ever really stop, pat ourselves on the back, and really take inventory of everything we've navigated and what we've learned to reach the point that we're currently at.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We're always so busy sort of running and getting to that next point. We forget that, hey, kind of that appreciation that, hey, we're doing great. You're doing much better.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, that's great. The other thing I'm curious about is, which kind of goes back to the other question that I asked, like, was there a moment when you decided that, okay, I'm going to leave my corporate job, and now I'm going to be a coach, a full-time coach, and just talk to us about that and that decision-making process there.
Well, so for me, it was sort of a choice, but then again, it wasn't. You know, like every big corporation, they go through transitions, they go through change. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, my position was one of the changes that was compromised. So I actually was displaced in a reorganization. So I lost my job and was sort of at this point where I was like, do I want to go in and go into another corporate job and be another cog in the wheel and continue on? Or do I want to take a leap of faith and go and create what I know I'm capable of creating? So for me, it was being sort of pushed from the nest. I think a lot of people want to have this goal and this desire to do their own thing, but yet they are so gripped by comfort and familiarity that they don't take that leap of faith. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have found that courage within to leave on my own. So I feel like life is always happening for us. So in that case, I was sort of the fledgling being pushed out of the nest to go on to bigger things.
Awesome. No, makes sense. So on that, what type of, I'm curious, what type of clients and personas that you work with or you prefer to work with? I'm sure based on my conversations with a lot of coaches, they're always looking for a fit. It's not like, okay, I want to work with anyone and everyone. It's like a fit. So I'd love to know, like, what is your preferred persona, sort of person or organization that you work with?
It's interesting you said fit, and I'm very keen to make sure that it is the right fit, because I think that, you know, oftentimes people are looking for support, but if that fit isn't right, then it's not going to work for them. And I'm more committed that they succeed than ever. You know, that's like my ultimate goal. So I always want to make sure it is the right fit and that our personalities work together. So, but for me, it's like, I have people from all walks of life. It's been a wild ride. I have a lot of teachers, educators right now. I have a contract with the district because teachers are burning out left and right with the complexities and the challenges of teaching our kids coming out of a pandemic. So I help a lot of teachers. I have several executives here in the US, but then I also have three executives in Seoul, Korea that I'm coaching. So I am global in terms of my coaching, and I while I have deep roots in a corporate role, you know, for many, many years, I really just want to go where I can be the most help. And so helping teachers has been just an incredible experience because these are truly people who give and give and give. And so, yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, in all industries, you know, like I have telecom, I have bioscience, I have the educators, I have M&A leader in Seoul, Korea. So it's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And it's great to know that you're working with teachers, because that's very rare that I hear that part. And then teachers are so important part of this whole community that people just forget and don't give them that much value. They are always looking for CEOs and those type of things, but teachers are actually building our leaders for next generation. They are. Absolutely. My wife's mother is a teacher, and my father was also a teacher. So I've been in this space, the teaching space, for sure. So with that, I would also like to know. I know that you have workshops for leaders that you run. So I'd love to know, how do you help leaders in the workspace through those workshops or sort of your other mechanisms?
It's interesting because I launched my company at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, little did I know that this whole thing called this pandemic was going to unfold. And my early clients wanted resiliency for their employees, because suddenly we were all working from home. People were feeling isolated. They were overwhelmed by responsibilities at home and isolation, to be honest, like quarantine. So I built my resilience program for employees. And then immediately after I started delivering that, I was getting feedback from my clients, you know, this is great. We really need to empower our leaders to look after their people more comprehensively. Leading in a post-COVID world and during COVID is a completely different animal. So my leader workshop was born, and that's really around empowering leaders to courageously and confidently engage in conversations with their staff if they suspect they might be struggling, ways to support them, and then teaching them to model good emotional well-being hygiene at work. That's so important when we have leaders that are demonstrating what it looks like to take, you know, to take the lunch hour and go for the run, or to take a mental health day. When they are modeling it, that can have a ripple effect. So my leader workshops are definitely something that I love to deliver, and that I know are making a difference in terms of organizational culture and team dynamics.
Awesome. No, that's great. So on that, another thing to ask you. What are the challenges as you work with leaders and these organizations? What are the recent challenges? Because you did hit a good point, COVID-19. So with COVID, a lot of things have changed and have evolved. So what are the new challenges and new things that you're seeing in the organizations and workspaces as a result of that?
You know, we see it a lot on LinkedIn, the great resignation. People are now reflecting on where they want to work. They want to work with organizations that their values are aligned with. So you have that concern. The other concern is that you want to keep your people engaged. If with so many people no longer working in a common work area, it's hard to keep that cohesion and connection. So it's all about, how do we keep our people connected and engaged? Those are the concerns, the resignation, having people expected to do more with less, and then having them be balanced so they don't burn out, right? Burnout's a very big deal. And when you have less staff, you have the probability of burnout going through the roof. So it's about keeping employees healthy, engaged, and working. So those are really the primary concerns. People call me in and say, keep my people healthy, keep my people engaged. I can't afford to lose another, you know, a star employee.
Right. Right. So,
yeah.
No. And I think this is good to hear that there is awareness out there. Cause I think a couple of years ago, there was very little awareness in terms of mental health, burnout. I think that term burnout, I probably would have heard maybe just a couple of times pre-COVID. Right. Post-COVID, now I hear that a lot. So that's great that there's now awareness out there for these things. And then people are taking action, and you're working with them on the workshop.
Yes.
So that's great. Any thoughts on like what are the things that needs to be done? Let's say if there's someone in our audience listening and they are concerned about their employee burnout or just that sort of mental health of their employees, well-being of their employees. Any suggestions out there for them?
I think the fundamental thing that leaders need to keep in mind is the lines of communication and building trust and building rapport. You don't want to have a lack of trust in your team, in your organization, because that prevents people from being honest about if they're struggling and if they just need to step away. You don't want it to come to a point where they, you know, you blink and they're on disability, right? You sort of want to keep your thumb on the pulse of how your people are doing. So that requires communication. That requires trust. That requires you being a little vulnerable, because when you're a little vulnerable, it opens the pathway to other people being human as well. So I say cultivate trust every single day.
No, that's a great suggestion. And I think it gets a little bit more difficult as everyone is remote to have that open lines of communication. Slack is there and all these offline channels are there, but I guess based on my personal experience, I guess Slack and these channels lack that emotional touch, because if someone is saying that, hey, is that work done with the question mark, the other person can perceive that as a very angry ask or as a nice ask. It just depends on how that employee is kind of viewing that, which makes a lot of impact. So I can see that can be super challenging to have that open lines of communication over these virtual channels these days. Awesome. So just switching gears a little bit, we'll also love to know, because we did touch on when you started the decision of being a coach and all of that, we'd love to know like how you run your sort of solo business. There are a lot of people who are listening. They are either wanting to start a coaching business, or they are in their first year and now wanting to scale. They're looking for clients. So I always ask this question where I want to learn a little bit more from a suggestion standpoint, how you scale your business and how you find clients. Any suggestions on that side of the thing will be great.
I think we need to reflect on our energy. It's not always going to be a tactical thing. Where are you going to go get your clients? For me, it's all about energy. It's about, I need to protect my energy. I need to create my own balance. I need to show up healthy. I need to show up present for my clients. And I believe the right people we attract into our energy, right? So it's not about going out and having this tactical strategy. Maybe it's about who you're being when you have conversations with different people. So for me, that's been sort of my secret sauce. Who am I being? How am I showing up? How am I role modeling resilience? How am I modeling good, mental health hygiene for myself, you know, because people are watching as much as they're listening. So, you know, every now and then I have random people reaching out to me. I think you can help me. And I've done nothing to solicit them. So I say show up, be confident in what you do, know your lane. Don't allow yourself to be getting absorbed with the competition, because only you can deliver you. Have confidence in that. And take care of yourself, take care of your energy, and lead by your example. In order for us to attract people in our life, we have to be that person as well.
Makes sense. So kind of be a sort of a flag bearer for that that thing that you stand for, and just share that, be an example in the community and your network, and people are going to you're going to attract your clients there. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And do you use any sort of online channels to be out there, or is it more like the local events and the local community events that you're at? What, just talk to us about it.
So I have a presence. I mean, I think it's important. You have a presence. So I have a strategy. I have a presence on platforms that I know are valid for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm consistent with it. I mean, I think that's key. You can't shine bright and short. You have to shine consistently. So that's my strategy. Keep showing up, keep adding value. I think when we pummel people with sales pitches, we lose them. So I'm always thinking, how do I add value? So I have a live stream podcast I do for anyone and everyone. It talks about everything that has to do with mental health, to resilience, to understanding different types of mental illnesses. So I'm always looking for ways to add value to my audience who's watching me.
That's great. And that reminds me that you mentioned you also wrote a book around this topic. So I think that in itself kind of goes into that sort of sharing things and then sharing your thoughts and then kind of being out there. Talk to us a little bit about that book, what that book is, and probably our listeners can go and find that on Amazon or something.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So it's called Breaking Into My Life. It's the book that I wrote coming out of the TED Talk. The reaction that I got from so many people who heard my story, I was like, well, wow, if I could make a difference with this TED Talk, what could I do if I wrote the book? So I sat down and wrote my memoir of what my life was like growing up and loving my bipolar mother and how that shaped me into the woman that I became today. It's ultimately a story of resilience and perseverance, because nobody needs to hear a sad story. So I tell my story, but then I also say, but I came out the other side. So if I came out the other side, then you can come out the other side of whatever you've endured as well. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote it, and it took me 4 years to write it. It was very cathartic, painful at times. I released it in 2018, and every single month I still sell books. It's mind blowing. It's 2022 and I'm still selling books, and I still get these notes. I just got a note last week from a woman who just said, like, oh my goodness, you made it okay for me to feel what I felt with my bipolar mother. So I'm so moved by when people reach out, because the book, I never in a million years dreamed people would still be reading it this many years later. So
that's awesome. That kind of tells us that your story is resonating with people out there. And I think that's the power of the stories. If it's a genuine story, then it can resonate for next 20, 30, 40 years. That's a story. It's not like it's only going to be valid in 2019, that kind of thing. So that's awesome. Well, congratulations on that and great work done there. Awesome. Thanks for sharing all of that. It was great talking to you. I would, anyone who's listening out there, if they want to reach out to you, let's say there's a leader who wants to reach out to you and then explore your workshop, how do they find you?
Just go to LinkedIn. You're going to find a lot of information about me on LinkedIn. So you'll look up Michelle E. Dickinson. I'm always posting information, videos, anything that has to do with well-being and resilience in the workplace and beyond. So hit me up on LinkedIn. That's the best way to reach out.
Awesome. So there you go. So anyone who's listening, reach out to her on LinkedIn. We are also going to probably have this podcast link posted on LinkedIn also whenever it's ready. With that, thanks Michelle for being on the show. It was great talking to you. Thanks for sharing your journey and and you're doing a great great service, and then you're making great impact to the community, and congratulations on that. So with that, take care and good luck, and let's be in touch on LinkedIn.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. So that went well. I guess that was short and quick, and I hope I didn't ask any curveballs or any.
Wow. Was that good for you? Was that like a good recording for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's good. That's what I wanted to do. Like just 25, 30 minutes, keep it short, ask questions. And that's the flow that I generally get into, because based on our persona or the audience, there are people who are wanting to be coached. So your first half actually inspires people that, hey, I can also be a coach. I have a story and I can learn from my story and I can help people. And then the second part is for people who have decided that they want to be coach but are stuck, that, hey, how do I get my first client? Maybe I will never get my first client. And that's where they're sort of stuck. Or the folks who got, let's say, 4 clients and now they're like, I don't know what to do next. So that's the second half generally. That's how I structure. Like first half is more kind of knowing you and kind of understanding the coaching practice that you do.
Awesome. Yeah. If anyone wants to reach out, I'm happy to talk to people one-on-one. If someone like reaches out to you and says, you know, that was a good conversation. I mean, just please, I'm an open book. They can literally just reach out to me. I'm happy to encourage. I'm a big believer there's abundance for all of us. So I'm happy to share and support whoever.
Sure. No, absolutely. One question I'll ask just for my own thing, TED Talk. So how did you crack that? I think
amazing,
that's
right?
Yeah.
I was very, very lucky. Okay. So I worked for Johnson & Johnson, and Johnson & Johnson had a license with TED. So they had their own platform and they still had a rigorous application process. But a colleague nominated me and they happened to want to start talking about mental health. So I was in the right place at the right time.
Nice.
And working for an organization that had a license. Gotcha. So I wasn't like cold calling a major TED event. So I really was in the right place at the right time.
That's awesome. No, that's great. And that's a good start from a PR standpoint and all totally. Of that. And it kind of launches the things. And then the book and everything.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, it's so interesting because like I never even thought about it, but those are the two linchpins to my credibility, I think, is having the TED Talk and having the published book.
Yeah.
And I forget about how important that is when I talk to other people who are like, oh my gosh, like I wish I could have a book or I wish I had a TED Talk. Because without that, they're just sort of like someone they have to prove themselves to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, book and TED Talk. Yeah, you're right. Like, especially the TED Talk. Yeah. A lot of people are like, hey, only the premium, or I would say the very established people can get into TED. So it's that in itself actually brings up the validation and the credibility there. So that's awesome. No, yeah. That's great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks for the conversation. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'll let you know, or we'll probably tag you on LinkedIn whenever.
Yeah, do that for sure. And I'm happy to share. I'm happy to promote as well. I like what you guys are doing. I know a lot of coaches. So I think if you send me the link or whatever, I'll reshare it with the people in my community.
Awesome. Perfect.
Thanks
Michelle. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.